Welcome to the Rimfire Tactical Podcast. This is your host, Chris, from rimfiretactical.com. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to episode 72, everybody. I'm just going to start off by saying thank you. Thank you so much to all of you guys that have reached out. If this is your first time listening, thank you for listening. First things first, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. If it is your first time listening, we'd love for you to head on over to iTunes or Podbean or wherever you listen to this episode and give us a review. You know, give us a 5-star review. It's how others will find the podcast, and hopefully they can pick up a little bit of information, some helpful hints and things like that. Or if nothing else, maybe be entertained. If you're a returning listener, thank you. Thank you so very much. You know, let me just go ahead and kind of cover a few things up front. Obviously, if you have been a consistent listener for some time, you realize it's been a long time since there's been a podcast come out. And that wasn't by plan. It just sort of happened that way. And I want to thank you guys for reaching out. I've had people that have sent messages through Facebook. People have sent messages through Instagram. People have emailed us. Even some of the folks that know me well have sent text and called, mainly, you know, checking on me to make sure everything was okay. And of course, there are a ton of people in the Rimfire Tactical Facebook group who have posted throughout different threads, as well as reaching out, just, you know, making sure everything's okay, asking about, you know, the status of everything, wanting to know when we would have some new episodes coming out. So, you know, it's just really nice. Obviously, this is not a heavily produced podcast. It's me and just me, myself, and I. And, you know, when I'm putting this thing together, I do it to try to talk about different things that I see as topics that come up in the Facebook group, or things I see at matches, or even just interactions with different shooters. And, you know, what I've always felt is if somebody's asking the question, if two people are asking the question, you know, three people, whatever, there's probably at least a dozen other people, if not more, who are asking those same questions. They're just not, you know, they're not asking them out loud, if that makes sense. Or they're not maybe seeking out the answers from anywhere and everywhere. So it's always been my philosophy that if we can help people answer questions about anything shooting related, but obviously, you know, Rimfire is our specialty here, that we could help them. That's the goal. That's the blessing of doing all this. So a little recap, just so you can see where things are and what the plan is going forward. The last episode we had Aaron on from Anarchy, and good grief, you guys love those, or that episode. It's one of our most heavily downloaded episodes. And, you know, last year the goal was to have a lot more episodes where we were interviewing someone from the industry. And that we'd started to have some things scheduled. And for a variety of reasons, we had to reschedule the interviews multiple times with a few folks. And that sort of started the process of where we were missing on producing episodes. And then from there, just to be blunt, I got really busy. Was really fortunate to go and shoot a number of larger matches towards the end of the year. Was able to meet a lot of people that are active in the Rimfire Tactical Facebook group, but also our listeners, and had just an awesome time at some of those matches, you know, talking it up with everybody. My plan had been to take some time and do an after-match report or a recap, if you will. And like I said, just life got in the way. Seems like I would go and shoot a match on a Saturday and immediately walk into something crazy happening with one of my businesses or, just something in personal world, personal life. And so anyway, all that being said, at some point in the future, I'm going to go back and probably we'll recap a number of different things that happened last year, not to just relive the past, but if nothing else, kind of provide some info on where I learned a lot. And to be blunt, I learned a lot. One of the things that is often talked about is you can watch something and learn, you can read something and learn. Someone can tell you something, you can hear it, and you can learn. But the best teacher in the world is experience. And sometimes, even when you know what to do, or maybe more importantly, what not to do, it's still easy to either slip up and forget it, or just totally make a mistake and not even realize you've done it until after the fact. And I did all of that and more with some of those matches. I'm also going to be doing a recap of a training class, and this is going to be in a future episode as well. I'm going to be doing a recap of a training class with Chris Simmons and talk a little bit about that. And our goal is to get Chris on the line and do an in-depth interview, not only talking about his classes, but also his shooting. And if you're not familiar with who Chris is, he is the NRL 22 champion and also now the PRS Rimfire champion. So he is an outstanding shooter and very fortunate that he is not too far away from where I live. So actually, like I said, was able to go over, take a class from him, and have shot a number of matches with him as well. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing this year, and what we've done that is going to be, I think, as beneficial for the podcast as anything, is it's actually a scheduled event on my calendar on a weekly basis now. And the reason that that's a big deal is because in the past, the podcast wasn't scheduled. The podcast was literally something that I would do when I had time to do it. And while it was convenient at first, it obviously created a scenario where it was happening more and more that we were going 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, in this case, gosh, almost 4 months since an episode came out. And that's no good. I'm a big believer that consistency is the key to being successful in anything. But with this podcast, I just was never consistent with it because it was something I was doing out of, frankly, I was doing it for fun as much as anything. I mean, I love talking about rim fires. I love talking about shooting. I love talking about people in the shooting sports because I'm a firm believer that people in the shooting sports are some of the greatest folks out there. And it's just something that I could do to really be selfish and take a little bit more time to talk about some of those things. So, with all that being said, this year, what we're going to do is you're going to see new episodes coming out. They should come out each Monday. And the episodes probably will be a little bit shorter. Some of them will than in the past. Typically, we try to keep the episodes to an hour and under. Probably we'll have more frequent episodes this year, but we're going to end up having those coming out in the 35 to 45 minute range, more than likely. For most of us, that's probably a good drive time, maybe on the way to work, on the way home. Maybe it's the drive time on the way to the range or something like that. We're definitely going to have episodes coming out at least every other week. I would love to tell you that we're going to have one coming out every week, but right now, schedule-wise, that's going to be a challenge. So The goal is every other week. And like I said, if we happen to get episodes, enough of them recorded that we can have them coming out weekly, then fantastic. That's what we'll do. This year, we're going to be talking about a lot of not necessarily new things, but different things with regards to rimfires and rimfire shooting. In the past, I've covered different types of rifles, scopes, red dots, ammo, a little bit of talk about handguns, and a decent amount of conversation about the matches. None of that will change. We're still going to do those things because if you take away the matches, the rifles, the optics, the handgun, or the handguns and the ammo, you kind of like there's not much left when you're talking about rimfire. But really, what I want to do this year is I want to talk a little bit more about some of the additional factors that play a role in our shooting. And a lot of this is coming from some research I've been doing, looking at ways to be better in terms of shooting in matches, or the same could be hold true for your shooting as far as maybe it's just hunting. Maybe you're out just plinking and shooting some targets with your friends. But we're going to talk a little bit about some psychology. We're going to talk about staying focused. We're going to talk about a lot of different things this year, all of it with the intent of getting better at the sport that we love. Now, there's also going to be some conversation about some of the newer products that are coming out. There's been a few new rifles come out, a few new scopes that will definitely be used. I can see them being used quite frequently when it comes to some of the NRL 22 and PRS type matches. Not a whole lot new on the ammo front, a few little things here and there, but we'll talk about some of that. And we're going to be doing some interviews with people who are not part of the shooting industry per se, but they're just people who enjoy shooting. I'm actually going to be having a good friend of mine that's going to join us on some episodes who, through the years, he's been a shooter as long as I've known him, but was never really heavily into shooting rimfires, but has definitely had some of the nicer firearms of anyone I know. He has a real appreciation for quality and has no problem being able to spend the money on something that is custom, something that is better in his opinion. And I know I'm going to get pushback on that and people are going to say, oh, wait, you said better and you said custom. So, you know, my insert name, CZ, Marlin, Remington, Savage, Ruger, whatever, is every bit as good as whatever the custom gun is. Voodoo, Kid, Remex, Valkortson. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that is tailor-made to your specs. And anyway, like I said, Jeremy's a good friend of mine, and he's going to join us on some episodes so we can talk about really what has been a pretty neat transition to watch. I've literally watched him transition from going all in on a number of centerfire rifles and handguns, and he's always not necessarily collected them because he's like me. He likes to have them, but he likes to shoot them. But I've watched him transition away from shooting centerfire and really has gone all in on the rimfire game. And when I say all in, I mean, I know that I talk about some of my rifles and I've probably got a little bit of a sickness there, a little bit of a fondness for some of the cooler stuff in the rimfire world. I can assure you he's right there with me. And actually, like, I'm almost afraid to get a text from him at this point because I never know what he's texting me next and going, look what just showed up. So it's going to be neat. Just to give some perspective from somebody that isn't really shooting comps or anything like that, but just has a real appreciation for, you know, what's happening out there. And, you know, I think what we'll have this year, We're going to have more interaction. I'm really looking to dive deeper into the Facebook group and look for more input from you guys on who you want us to interview, what you want us to talk about. And frankly, I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of you people that are in the Facebook group because I think it would be great to have outside perspectives all the way around the board. I mean, let's face it, if I am able to get some of the folks that we plan to have on here, rifle builders, custom smiths, gunsmiths, ammo manufacturers, obviously those people are going to be able to tell us a lot, but how cool would it be to have some folks on that? They're just like me and you. They're out there putting in their work 9 to 5, 8 to 10 in the morning, 8 to 10 at night, whatever the case may be, because I know some of you people, you work some funky schedules out there. But how cool is it, to talk to somebody that does the 9 to 5 life at work? They've got kids that are playing sports. They're trying to enjoy, all the different as or facets of life, but they still make time for shooting. I think those are the people that I want to talk to more and more, because we all have to make some concessions to be able to enjoy this sport. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things this year, and really what I'm looking forward to is just getting some feedback from you guys, finding out really what's important to you these days. Now, one thing that I thought I would go through today a little bit is to answer a few questions that people have reached out. And one of the first ones is I had somebody reach out and said, they were basically just said, "Hey, look, you talk about being busy with your businesses and stuff like that. What's the story? What do you do?" And if you've listened to previous episodes, I've definitely talked a bit about one of my companies, which is where we do credit card processing. And we partner with people in that own businesses, and we help them find ways to process credit card payments, and basically just find a way to keep the cost down, accept payments from their customers. It's kind of cool. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it because I get to work with business owners, and let's face it, small businesses are what drive the economy in the United States and really around the world. And so from my perspective, to be able to get to work with business owners, it's just really cool. I get to hear neat stories about how they started their business, how they have been able to survive through, different challenging times. COVID being a perfect example. I've had clients that have struggled to stay in business. Unfortunately, I've had a few that went out of business, and I've had others that have absolutely thrived and have never seen sales any better than what's happening over the last year, year and a half, 2 years. Sorry about that. Speaking of COVID, I don't have a little COVID coffee there. But I own a few other businesses. One of those is related to the industry that I'm just mentioned with credit card processing. We do a lot of different forms for businesses, everything from products that you really don't think about a business would need. Everything from like business checks to invoices and statements and promotional products. And we have a whole suite of products that are geared towards the medical industry, like insurance claim forms and stuff like that. It's a neat business. We have a good sized clientele there. Love working with those folks. And then I own a few different storage facilities, and those storage facilities, it's a lot of fun. Really like that industry, and those keep us quite busy as well. I've actually been fortunate enough with those to the point where not only am I now working with some people who are getting started in the self-storage industry and helping them with some consulting and things like that, but we're actually writing a book right now about getting started in self-storage. So if you're listening and those are anything that you have interest in, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help any way I can with those things. So that's just a little bit about me, and what I do. So when you do hear me talk about being tied up with something there, the goal is not, frankly, to spend all my time working, but I do spend a good amount of it because let's face it, anything worth doing, it's worth doing right. Some other questions that have come up. Let's see, who wrote this one? This one came from, let's see, where to go? Okay, so where did that? Okay, so David Lawrence, this is an old one, but we're looking to talk about 22 ELR out to 500 yards. We're actually going to be doing that in detail in a future episode. So I'm not going to really spend a whole lot of time on that one right now. Let's just say I have some experience doing it. I don't have a ton of experience, so we're going to get some folks on that do that on a regular basis. Let's see what else we have here. How about dive into the Rim-X and Ultimatum Deuce, two of the newer top 22 contenders? That's from Lucas. Lucas, we're actually going to be talking a lot about the Rim-X this year, and I don't have any experience with the Deuce. I actually haven't seen a lot of people posting or talking about getting theirs. So I don't really have anything to really offer there, but we're definitely going to dive into the Rim-X. I mentioned before, my friend Jeremy, he's actually got a couple of those things. Or actually, one's here and the other one's on its way. And we're actually going to have a guest on that I think a lot of you guys will recognize from his YouTube channel, and he is a huge proponent of the Rim-X. So we'll have Rick on to talk quite a bit about that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Ballistic software for long range rimfire. Yep, we're going to dive into that, John. We're going to talk about a comparison, and the comparison is going to be something that I see it matches quite a bit, and I think the conversation tends to happen fairly frequently within the Facebook group as well. We're going to talk about the different apps that are free, everything from the app from Lapua to Hornady to StrayLock. We're going to talk about the paid apps like Ballistic AE, StrayLock Pro. We're going to talk about all those, and then we're going to talk about comparing the apps, the Ballistic apps like that, to using a Kestrel. And thankfully, courtesy of taking Chris Simmons' class, I feel like I have a much better understanding of a Kestrel now than I ever did before. He literally simplified it so much better than anything I'd had experience with. But we're going to dive deeper into that on an episode and talk about the pros and cons of doing it each way. And frankly, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of doing it that. But we're also going to talk about comparing that to just actual hard data, a dope book, having your data written down. Let's see here. What else we got? Guy DeMarco, talk about applied to ballistics. Yep, we're going to do that. Let's see here. What have we got? Optic options for accuracy at about 100 yards. Whew, boy, I don't know that we've got enough time to record enough podcast about optics, especially if we're talking 100 yards and in. So we're going to be talking more and more about optics and not just all the Gucci stuff. Obviously, if you take a look at any of the pictures that get posted throughout the group and a lot of the pictures from matches, you'll see tons of Night Force and Vortex optics, a lot of Athlon optics out there. We're going to talk about those this year. We'll talk about some of the higher end stuff like the Zero Compromise. And with any luck, we're going to talk also about the new Zeiss PRS scope. That's one that I really want to try myself. I think it's got a lot of bells and whistles, and I think it would be neat to give that thing a shot. But we're also going to talk about some of the lower priced options out there because, frankly, not everybody can put together the cash for some of those $3,000, $4,000 scopes. Not necessarily everybody wants to spend the money to do that. It's not a matter of they can't do it. It's just like, they're looking at going, why in the world would I spend that much to put on a rifle that's just a 22, which is, you guys know that's one of my favorite lines. It's just a 22. It's not just a 22, but it's hard to justify. So I get that. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the ammo co or the optics companies that are out there. Seems like there's more and more of those, that just pop up out there on the. Used to be, it was every other year or so you'd hear about a new optics company, and now I swear it seems like it's every month there's a new company coming out. Let's see, Ryan, give the 1022 some love. We broke folk feel left out. Man, I understand. We will be talking a little bit about some 1022s this year and some different things that are options for them, different accessories. The funny thing about the 1022s, and I had this conversation with someone recently, he said, man, I've got a 1022 and I really want to fix this thing up. And I was joking with him and I was like, well, from my experience, tell me what you want to do first before I say anything, but what do you want to do? And he said, oh, I want this thing to be the most accurate. I want to be able to compete with it. I want to be able to shoot NRL 22 matches and PRS style matches. And then I also want to be able to take this thing and go squirrel hunting. And I might even want to st shoot some Steel Challenge. And so I laughed a little bit at first because for those of you guys that do this, or all of those things, the rifle that you shoot for NRL 22 or PRS matches is typically going to be a heavier rifle. Probably at least 9, 10, maybe 12 to 15 pounds, depending on the stock that you use, the rifle scope, and everything else. You're going to have a high magnification optic, at least probably something with an 18 power magnification, and maybe you'll go as much as 25 or 30 or 35 power magnification. That could still be a rifle that would be decent for hunting, although a little on the heavy side. Scope might be a little bit of overkill, but that is definitely not the rifle that you would want to use for Steel Challenge, where most people are going for a sub 5 or 6 pound rifle. They're looking for something really lightweight, no magnified optics at all, and would frankly the best fit would be to have a red dot or iron sights on it. And so I started laughing as he was telling me more about it because he was really sincere, but I thought he was joking with me at first. And I was like, well, there's different ways you can do this. I was like, you can spend $1,500 on the rifle buying a lightweight barrel and a heavy barrel. Heavy barrel for NRL, light barrel for Steel Challenge, maybe hunting as well. And then you can spend a lot of money, not a lot of money per se, but you can get by with different triggers. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on a kid trigger, although I think they're the best out there. But you can definitely have your factory trigger reworked, or you could even buy like a BX style trigger from Ruger or something like that. But probably want a different stock for Steel Challenge than you would for NRL 22. And so I was like, you could spend $1,500 and just buy a kid super grade with an extra barrel, or you could spend $1,500 on parts. And the only thing that will be Ruger when it's all said and done is maybe the receiver and the magazines. So we're going to go down that path again on the 1022s, but we're going to talk a little bit more about what's, if you're going to build up a 1022 and you're going to do that on a budget, let's look at what's makes sense to spend money on versus what's just maybe nice to spend some money on. Let's see here. Shooting Gallery, New England. If you guys ever need a guest, let me know. Would love to join. Hey man, maybe reaching out to you on that. Long range, like beyond 300 yards, and ammo that will hold better accuracy at that distance. Terry, we're going to talk some about the differences in accuracy and how to judge ammo, because the ammo that's the most accurate at 25 yards or 50 yards might not be the most accurate ammo at distance. Doesn't make a lot of sense at times, but we do see that. And so we're going to talk about that and really, what makes the most sense as far as a range? What distance do you want to shoot to focus on accuracy. And there's a lot of different perspectives out there. So we're going to ask some of our guests, especially the competition shooters, not only what distance do you zero your rifle, most commonly it's 50 yards, but we're going to ask them, when you're testing ammo, are you testing it and going with the ammo that shoots best at, is it 100 yards? Is it 50 yards? Is it 300 yards? What distance do you focus on? So that's a really good question. It's a good topic, and we'll dive deep into that one. Alberto has a question that frankly is one that made me smile. And the reason for that is because you guys have heard me talk. I am a rimfire nerd. I am a junkie when it comes to this stuff. I absolutely love rimfire rifles, and not just one brand, and not just one style of rifle. So Alberto wants to do a comparison and wants us to talk about comparing the Voodoo V22 to like the Seiko Quads, CZ 455s or 457s, and then throwing in some of the different Anschutz models. And I'm a fan of that. I've been fortunate through the years, especially as I came to the realization that I love shooting rimfire more than any other type of shooting out there, that I've been able to sell off or trade a number of centerfire guns to pick up the, I don't know that I would call them holy grail type rimfires, but I definitely had a list of rimfires that I always wanted to own, either because I read about them in a magazine, I read about them on the internet, I saw videos where somebody was shooting them on YouTube or whatever. And so I have been very fortunate, and I'm absolutely grateful that I've been able to put together a good size collection, I guess you could say, of some of those rifles. So we'll do that comparison. That's not something I've ever taken the time to just go one day and shoot all of them side by side, but we'll do a comparison where we're going to shoot some we'll shoot some of the rifles. Don't know if we'll take them all, but we'll do a comparison maybe between like the Voodoo and the Remex. We'll do some comparisons between like a Seiko Quad versus maybe an Anschutz 5418. We'll do some comparisons between CZ 455 personal trainer or varmint and precision trainer, I think is what they call it, versus the 457. I've got a friend of mine that has a 457 in the Manor stock, and so we'll do that comparison, and then we'll throw in, I've got a 457 in a pro varmint stock, and we'll compare it. So we'll do some comparison type shows, and we may. I've got a good friend of mine that's pushing me really hard to do a YouTube channel. So we're probably going to go ahead and launch that as well. And we'll have some video content there as well to show the rifles and how they're performing. But we'll do that this year. Let's see. One last one here, and we'll kind of wrap up this episode. But Andy had a great one here. It says, discussion on things to look for that rob accuracy in common rifles, such as the 10/22, the Ruger American, Savage models. I, for one, cannot afford a Voodoo at this time, and I've seen an off-the-rack Savage outshoot a custom bolt gun. You know what? That's a great idea, Andy. I like it. We will do that. Because there's lots of different factors that make a huge difference when it comes to this. And actually, this is probably something that I spend more time talking with people about than anything else, either in a gun shop or somebody reaching out to me at a through a DM or whatever, or an email. And even those times where someone has asked me about it, at a match. And the reality of it is, a lot of people who have custom guns, just like people who have really high-end or expensive cars, a lot of times they get approached by someone who has maybe let's use cars as an example, just because I like cars a lot. So years ago, I had Mustangs, and you can make a Mustang, especially the older Fox bodies, which is what I had. Those things were fun little cars, and you could spend what now would be considered a small amount of money on them and make those things really fast. You could spend less than $1,500 back in those days and take a factory Ford Mustang, spend $1,500 on the engine, and maybe change out the rear end. You did need to put a set of slicks on, but you could absolutely take one of those cars and spend the money, throw some nitrous on it, and make that car a easily an 11 second car, if not a high 10 second car on a quarter mile drag strip. Well, that will absolutely, back in those days anyway, that would absolutely outrun any or a lot of the more expensive cars out there, whether we're talking a Corvette, whether we're talking some of the exotics, something from Ferrari, something from Lamborghini. You could absolutely embarrass a really high-end exotic car in a quarter mile drag race with a, what was considered, and a lot of people still consider them in the car world, a cheap Ford Mustang. So the reality is, could you make it go faster in a quarter mile? Absolutely. Could you make it go faster at, on the high end, on the top end? No. Was the Ford Mustang going to get the looks and hold its resale value and do all of those things like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or even a lot of the Porsche models? No. Will it turn heads? Yeah, it'll absolutely turn heads. You can make a Ford Mustang look great. You can make one sound awesome, or I think so. But hey, I'm a redneck from the South, and we love V8s, and so I love that deep throaty exhaust. But a lot of people would, especially when we would go to the races, or even if we were just out running around, you'd have a lot of times where people would have inexpensive. And again, inexpensive is a relative word. I hate that word, but I don't want to say cheap and lower cost. Let's go with that. That would have a Mustang or a Camaro or something like that that they would spend a lot of money on and can make it really fast. And so they love to almost like some of them be really aggressive and want to get in the face of maybe somebody who's got a more expensive car and brag about how their car will outrun the more expensive car or whatever. And I still remember racing a guy one night in a new a Corvette. And my Mustang was 3 or 4 years old at that point. But I still remember the guy. He wanted to race me. He had a like I said, newer vet, great looking car. And he just kept on. And I was like, well, okay. And so we raced, and I outran him. I outran him pretty badly. And I felt pretty good about it. I was really proud of my Mustang. Liked the car a lot. And so we pulled into a parking lot, and several of my buddies are there and their girlfriends. And of course, my girlfriend's really happy because, we just had this really good race and we outran this vet. And the guy in the vet pulls in and he came over and he's like, man, that Mustang, boy, it sounds good and it looks good too. And man, I'm impressed. Like it runs really good. I mean, of course, I haven't done anything to my Corvette. It's a stock car, but hey, your Mustang runs good. And I was like, yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate you saying the nice words and everything. And he goes, but always I want you to remember one thing. I was like, sure, what's that? And he goes, no matter what you do to that thing, it's always going to be a Mustang. So if you go to trade it, if you try to sell it, anything whatsoever, if you wreck it, which unfortunately is what happened later on, I totaled it. I actually bought three sections of guardrail with that car one night. If you do any of those things, it's always going to be a Mustang. And the guy, he meant it as a slight, and it was, but it was also true. And I've always remembered that because if you go to trade it in, it doesn't matter if it's got custom paint, if it's got all kinds of add-ons, if you've done a ton of work to the engine, the exhaust, the transmission. I mean, you could rebuild the car from front end to rear end with all new parts that are all to increase performance. But to a dealer, it's just a Mustang. If you sell it to someone, you may sell it to an individual who wants all those that work done to them, but you narrow the field of who is interested in it because not everybody wants to have. Not that mine was just bright red. It was just a red car. I like red. That's why those of you who see me shooting comps, you see me shoot a red Voodoo, it's in a red J. Allen chassis. I like red, but mine was red. But I had lots of friends that had Mustangs, and some of them would be maybe it was black and it would have purple rally stripes or blue and it would have white rally stripes or white and blue rally stripes or whatever. Rally stripes were really popular where I lived at that time. So you have to find somebody to buy you that vehicle that appreciates that color combo. And not everybody does. So in my case, when I totaled the vehicle, trying to keep from getting run over by a tractor trailer where a tractor trailer driver fell asleep, I had a lot of money in my car, had a lot of time in my car. And those of us, as you grow up, you realize time is money. I had a lot invested into my car. And when it was totaled, the insurance company said, it's a Mustang GT, nothing more. So custom wheels don't matter. Exhaust doesn't matter. Engine performance upgrades doesn't matter. None of those things matter. It's just a Mustang. And that's really the way that I look at it in terms of guns and looking at the different models that are out there. Savage makes some incredibly accurate rifles, center fire and rim fire. They make some that are more expensive, some that are lower cost. Nothing wrong with Savages whatsoever. And you can take those things and you can swap stocks, you can change triggers, you can change barrels, you can do everything. But at the end of the day, that action will still say Savage on it. And for a lot of people, it's a Savage. Doesn't matter whose barrel is on it, doesn't matter whose trigger, whose stock, it's still a Savage. The same thing holds true with Ruger or CZ or Tika or any of those brands. There's absolutely nothing wrong with those. I have been outshot in multiple matches with people shooting every one of those brands. And I've got, like I said, I'm shooting a Voodoo in a J. Allen chassis with a Night Force 7 to 35 Attack R on top of it. I mean, it's pretty Gucci. It's a pretty high-end rig, but I have absolutely been smoked in matches with people shooting a factory CZ 455. With maybe they worked on the trigger, maybe not. Their optic might be a as a matter of fact, one of them that I remember, the guy had a Vortex Diamondback Tactical. It was a rifle that he'd put together as a base class rifle. Smoked me, outshot me by a mile. And there's several things there. Mentally, he probably handled the match better than I did. Maybe he was consistent. If he had a bad stage, he let it go. I had a bad stage. It was still in the back of my mind when I went to the next stage. Who knows? One thing that is for certain, and this is something I've told several people, including a buddy of mine that's going to be on the podcast this year, something I was talking about earlier. You can take the lowest of low-end rifles, cost-wise. You find the ammo that that gun likes and it shoots the best, and then you take the highest end rifle. I don't care if we're talking a bench rest rifle, we're talking a Voodoo, a Remex, the Deuce that we were talking about a minute ago, or anything from Bergara, any higher end guns, and you're shooting crappy ammo that the gun doesn't like. That cheap gun will outshoot your custom gun every day. All because the cheap gun is shooting the ammo that it prefers, and the the custom gun is shooting ammo that it just doesn't shoot well. And that leads to the whole different conversation about lot testing ammo and all that good stuff. So we'll spend some more time talking about that in an episode, and specifically, what to do if you do pick up that rifle, whether it's a new rifle or a used rifle, and you go out to shoot the ammo that you have on hand and you're not impressed. Maybe it's just not grouping like you think it should. That's a real topic of conversation, and there are a ton of us out there who have been able to buy rifles. Really, just to be blunt, we've been able to buy them pretty stinking cheap because the person who had them only tried one brand of ammo and one style of ammo from that particular brand. And when it didn't shoot good, then they were like, yeah, I'm done. And what's interesting about that is I've seen people do that because they have bought a case of that ammo. Maybe they heard, and obviously on here we talk a lot about Lapua Center X, typically is really good ammo. And so maybe they've heard great things about it and they bought a case of the Lapua Center X, or maybe it was SK, or maybe it was a case of Ely or whatever. But they've got 5,000 rounds of this ammo and the gun doesn't shoot it well. So they got to figure out, what am I going to do? I've got all this ammo and I've got a gun that doesn't shoot it well. Some people are going to buy more ammo and test ammo and figure out what shoots best in the rifle. Other people are looking at it going, I've got way too much money tied up in this ammo. I'm going to get rid of this gun and I'm going to buy a different gun. And I'm going to keep going through guns until I find one that'll shoot this ammo well. And I'd love to tell you it'll be the next one you buy, but the reality that most of us know is there's no guarantees on how that will work. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about things that you can do to improve the accuracy. Sometimes you can tweak the bedding, you can work with your with the torque on the action screws. There's lots of little things that you can do to tighten it up. We'll talk some about that this year. So anyway, we're over 45 minutes in here. So here's the thing I want to do. We're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Again, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in. And really, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that so many people reached out just to make sure everything was okay. I mean, yeah, there were some people that reached out and they're like, hey, when are you going to do another episode? I want to be on. I want to be on. I want to be on. Well, I appreciate that. And I'll reach out to some of those folks as well. But like I said, just a heartfelt thank you to all the folks that reached out who were genuinely just wanting to make sure everything was okay, because it's been so long since we'd had an episode come out. So, with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in. If you are not a member of the Rimfire Tactical Facebook group, go over and request to join. At this point, there's almost 19,000 members in the group. A couple of pieces of advice before you do that, though. When you request to join, there's three questions that it requires you to answer in order to ask to join. If you don't answer those questions and you skip it, we're not going to let you in. And the main reason we're not going to let you in is because we don't know if you're a bot that's just trying to access the site or the group, or if you're just somebody who doesn't like following rules. And I get that part, I do, but if you're not willing to at least answer the questions to join the group, it tends to make me think there's a good chance you're probably not going to follow the rules as part of the group. And the whole reason for those questions up front is to weed out the people who will unfortunately do things that can harm the group, like trying to sell guns or different items through the group. Facebook doesn't allow that, so we don't allow that. It's their world and we're in it. So answer the questions and we'll let you in. And when you join, hey, feel free to check out. There's a search feature in that group, so you can search for a lot of different things. It's not a problem if you ask a question that has been asked dozens of times before. You're not the first one to do it, and you certainly won't be the last. So don't sweat it. But use that search feature, and you'll find a lot of valuable info in that group. I mean, at this point in time, just to give you an example, at the time of this recording, there are, let's look at some analytics real quick here. Let's see, right now we have, I said it was just under 19,000. It's actually 18,548 members that are in there at this particular point in time. And to give you an idea, let me see if I can figure out where this is. Let's see. Nope. I'm looking for engagement. I think that's what we're looking for. So in the last 30 days, there has been a total of, let's see, there's been 176 new posts, and I don't see, there's over 14,000 members that are active, and that's within a 7 day period. I don't see what I'm looking for in terms of the number of comments, but just suffice it to say, there is a ton of activity happening there. And here's the key. Match season is just getting started. I know there's a lot of matches that have been held over the last few weekends, and there's a ton that are happening this weekend. So just know match season is upon us, and you're going to see the activity go through the roof because that's what happens every single time. Once we get started, it just goes. So thank you so much for tuning in. Head on over to rimfiretactical.com. You're going to see the store go live within the next 3 weeks. I know we talked about that before, and we just ran into some headache or some hiccups there. And frankly, with everything that I had going with the other businesses, that just got pushed off. I felt like that was something that needed to be put on the back burner until we could get it all right. I'm not a fan of just throwing something out there that's not what it should be. So head on over to rimfiretactical.com, and there's a con or a subscribe button. You can subscribe and you'll get an update when the store goes live, and also as we start to produce more content this year. And like I said, the content's going to be a combination podcast, the YouTube channel, and we'll start doing quite a few blogs as well, just to really kind of have a written copy of a lot of what we talk about. Because some people enjoy listening to podcasts, some people prefer to watch videos, some people like to read. I'm kind of a fan of all three. It just depends on where I am and what I can do at that particular point in time. You know, I'm one of those guys that if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't get back to sleep, that's not something I can just necessarily sit there and, you know, watch videos on my phone or whatever, or listen to an episode of a podcast, not without waking my wife up. And let's face it, for those of you that are married, you know that's not a good idea to wake your wife at 3 in the morning. So something I can do is I can absolutely read. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. Expect something to come out every other Monday, and for some bonus episodes that come out on a weekly basis, fantastic. Go out, have fun, shoot a match. Remember, it's not just a 22. Cheers.